Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I am the Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame, at your service, as always. And when you get to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out all the other things you can do there. Don't forget our blog. We have that one, that too, that you can use to your advantage. We update that every weekday. And, of course, the newsletter comes out on Sunday. But it's an electronic newsletter, different from the hard copy publication that our good friend, Robert Levin, publishes. And his publication is called The New York Enterprise Report. He's the founder and the publisher of that outstanding publication. And as I said earlier, I'm so proud of Robert for what he's accomplished by carving out a niche for this very important publication, which provides, as he calls it, solutions for small business. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me back, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's good to have you back, and congratulations again. You know how proud I am of you, and because I'm telling you, there is no more, what's the word? There are no more jaundiced eyes than there are in the New York area. There is no more cluttered media space than in New York, in the tri-state area. For you to be able to go in there and carve out a niche and to find success, to me, that you are a classic example of why America is the greatest economy on the planet, Robert.
Thank you. I'm going to quote you on that at some point.
You can. No, absolutely. And I mean that, too. I've worked in New York. I know a lot about what goes on up there, and I know how tough it is up there. But before we go any further, because I know you want to talk to us about how to get profits, how to grow our profits in 07, sometimes our profits stink, don't they, Robert? Sometimes our profits
more than we'd like.
Just stink. And so over the last few days, though, not only profit stunk, but other things stunk in New York City. Did you smell the stink that was up there earlier?
I did. I was sitting at the same desk, at my desk, same desk I'm sitting right now with my sales director, and we're right next to the HVAC unit on the floor.
Right.
And, you know, in New York we have these big, wide buildings, and I think each floor has its own HVAC unit. And I was sure it was coming from there. So if you think about it, that's how strong the smell was.
What did it smell like?
It wasn't the worst.
Did it smell like rotten eggs?
It really smelled like a gas leak, which is not the worst.
Which is a little bit like rotten eggs.
A little bit. It wasn't quite that bad.
Okay.
I did get a headache, and I never get headaches. And
really?
My wife called me shortly after, and she was smelling it. And before you know it, I checked on the news, and it was the, you know, the headline item. So
surely everybody knows by now that when was it, Monday?
There was
this huge smell that just basically overcame New York City and parts of Jersey, I think, and it was basically all over the place, wasn't it?
It was. I think they're saying now it came from either New Jersey or Staten Island, which
those darn
New
Jersey folks.
I don't know whether it's true or not, but that's where we always, you know, we always blame things on. If it's smell related, we always blame it on New Jersey or Staten Island anyway. So I don't know if it's true or not, but it's just a natural. I saw Christine Quinn, who's the city council speaker, later that day, and that's exactly what she did in her speech. She just blamed it on New Jersey.
New Jersey gets all the blame. So, but they still don't know what it was, do they?
They don't.
Were you frightened?
I wasn't. Although it did, it wasn't until about, you know, maybe an hour later that I said, "Oh man, I wonder if this is terrorism." But I thought back and said, "You know what? They always said that terrorism, those gases that the terrorists may use, are ones that actually don't have an odor.
They don't have an odor, right? And of course, natural gas. If that's what it was, we don't know that. If that's what it was, I think they think it may have been that actually has an odor because they put an odor in it, so it will smell. So you can detect it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they add that to it. It doesn't have any smell.
you know, we have a terrific mayor here, and he was very quick to come out and say right away it wasn't dangerous. And he's got pretty big credibility here. So if he says it's not dangerous, people believe him. And,
I'm glad to give to I'm glad everything turned out all right. And appreciate the report from our man on the ground up there, Robert Levin. Robert, what are some talk to us about some of the ways we can make our profits not be so stinky this year?
Well, really, what I sat and thought about this really first for my own company, and I didn't really come up with anything revolutionary, because everybody knows what they need to grow their business, and I don't really want to talk about making big strategic changes because that's really that's a business plan type of thing. That's something, a strategic plan that you do. But what I did is I came up with three things that, if you think about it, none of them take a tremendous amount of effort. And these are things that we did. It's an exercise that we did here. So I'll start with the first one. The first one is cut costs by 10%. And if you think about it, 10% is really not a lot to ask. And here's how we went about doing it. Right towards the end of the year, end of 2006, I printed out my income statement by line item, so in a fair amount of detail. Not for every item we had, we spent, but, rent and postage.
The good news is you actually had a financial statement that where you could print out and get this information on. What's pitiful, what's sad, is that too many small business owners don't have that access to that information because they aren't creating financial statements.
That's kind of like playing baseball without knowing the score.
Or driving down a one-lane road the wrong way in a 100% fog, knowing traffic's coming at you.
Right.
It's about that stupid.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And
go ahead.
If you think about it, financial statements tell you about what happened in the past. But used properly, they can tell you a lot about the future, and they can help you make better decisions in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I did actually even better, this is kind of like a little bonus. Instead of me going through the line items, I kind of divvied it up. I don't have open books here. I divvied it up again to a few of my staff people here. I said, "All right, tell me how we could cut at least 10% from each of these line items."
Mm-hmm. You didn't do it by fiat. You said, "Okay, guys, here's your piece of the pie. What would you do if you needed to cut costs by 10%? What would it look like?"
Right.
Yeah, very smart. Let the team help you. That way, if there's pain, it's their pain too.
Stand by.
20 after. We'll be right back with Robert Levin. He's the publisher of the New York Enterprise Report. And he and I will have a couple of more profit-boosting suggestions for you right after these messages. Stay with us.
We skip the life and tango. Only you can to make all this world seem right.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Robert Levin. Robert is the publisher and the founder and the brainchild, the visionary, the energy force behind the New York Enterprise Report. And Robert, tell us how we can find your report online.
You can find it online at nyreport.com, and the articles are, I would say 90-95% of articles work for businesses everywhere. They're written by experts on a variety of topics to help you grow your business.
So check it out, folks. It's a very important, and especially you want to check it out just to see what it looks like, to see somebody who's gone into. Robert, the reason I like what you've done is you've gone into a place where there are plenty of people right now who are saying, I'd like to start a business, but this is the business I want to go in, but there are all these competitors out there. How in the world could I possibly compete with those guys? Well, the key is not to really compete, isn't it?
It's finding a niche.
It's carve out a little, go in there and get your elbows in there and carve out a little place for all those things.
Yep.
Let's talk some more about profits. Now, the first one was cut expenses by 10%. And it's amazing, once you scrutinize all your line items and all the elements of your line items, it's amazing what companies evolve into in terms of spending money, isn't it?
It really, we found duplicate accounts. We found we were spending too much money sending things overnight when we can send them today. We found that we had the wrong plans with some of our vendors. I mean, we found it about $30,000, which for, you know, we're still, I still consider us a new company.
That's a lot of money for any small business.
A lot of money.
You know,
yeah,
someone said, I'll buy
a lot of shoes for my wife. So.
One of my mentors told me years ago, Robert, watch the pennies. The dollars will take care of themselves.
That's right.
It's a good point, isn't it?
Yep.
What's the next profit idea?
The next one is raise your prices. Nobody likes to raise prices, except, of course, you know, when you look at our suppliers, they're raising prices all the time.
Well, they don't mind, do they?
No, they don't. And, you know, when you do that, you can't just obviously raise them arbitrarily, but you have to think, you know, not in terms of your costs, unless your costs are commodities. And if those have gone up in price, obviously, you know, you probably need to raise your price. But what is the value that you're delivering to your client? Has that increased? And you really have to scrutinize that. And then people are thinking, all right, well, you know, my clients are going to walk out the door if I raise my prices. Well, the truth is that if you raise them a little bit, and if you deliver the message in the right way in advance, and you explain it, and you don't hit, you know, they're not seeing it for the first time on a bill, then not too many of them are going to walk away. And if a few of them walk away, that's okay. It's going to probably free up your resources to go after bigger clients. But more often than not, the net to the bottom line by the increase in prices will offset any lost sales that you may be missing.
Here's a quote that you could hear from a person who needs to raise their prices. We are working our rear ends off. We cannot sleep. We've got so much business, but we're not making any money. If there ever was a statement that was screaming for higher prices, that's it, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely.
Because you need to raise your prices. You need to raise your prices and let some customers go away, don't you?
Absolutely. In fact, I'll tell you something I've been doing for years. I will tell some of my vendors that they need to raise their prices.
I've done that.
Of course, I tell them to raise everybody else's, but
exactly,
mine.
Exactly.
I do that because I value the work that they're doing, and I know they're not charging enough, and I don't want to see them go out of business.
Exactly. I've said that, too. I'm glad to hear you say that, Robert. I'm glad I'm the only person who does it. I have done that. I've had people to bring me stuff, and I'd say, you know what? You're not charging enough for that.
Yep. I've done it several times, and I don't have a problem doing it.
No, I don't either. Okay, what's the next thing?
The next one is... sell more to your existing customers. Now is a good time to do this. You can, again, print out the revenue that your top 20 clients have generated, and that top 20 number, that can vary depending on the industry you're in. Set up meetings with them, not to go and sell them anything, but to go and ask them, hey, how's your business? What are some of the challenges that you're facing?
Right.
And then go back and figure out, okay, well, you know, what can I do to help this person? I'm already selling them, you know, $10,000 a year. What else, what other products or services do I have, or should I be delivering, should I be offering to help this person? And the idea here is it's easier to sell. I mean, think about how hard it is to get an account. I know in my business it can take 6 months. You know, once you already have the relationship, the easiest person to sell to, your best prospect, is your existing customer.
Right.
So it's really as simple as meeting with your top 20 or your top X number of clients, find out what their challenges are, and then figure out, you know, with all your product and service offerings, how can you help them a little further? Well, I guarantee you, with half of them, you'll get maybe another 5-10%.
Two things there. You have to not care what they're going to say. You can't worry that if what they want you to help them with has nothing to do with you, you still got to try to help them. That's number one. And if they're already doing that much business with you, if you handle it right, they probably won't. Those are the ones who probably won't mind if you raise your prices a little bit.
That's a very good point. And which in another way is selling more. But you know, the first thing you said, which is that you might be in a position where you can help them.
Right.
You know what? Even then, you still may be able to help them because
absolutely.
You probably may know somebody who can help them.
And you'll get major points just because you ask, because every one of their vendors will not ask them like you will. But you've got this information because you know Robert Levin. Robert, thank you for being here. Give us your website again, please.
NYReport.com.
Thank you for being here very much. And let's have a good 2007 together. What do you think?
Sounds good, Jim. We got a lot of work to do in helping these wonderful small businesses that are running the economy for this.
You're exactly right. Thanks, Robert. See you next time. Quick break. Right back with Tim Berry. He is the world's business planning expert.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.